going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It is a difficult decision. It's a difficult decision when a guy runs a slow 40. It's a difficult decision when a guy has allegations. It's a difficult decision when a guy has an injury that you think he can't overcome, but maybe you can't overcome. That all kind of gets factored in because in the end, you know, there is an element of risk mitigation. Yeah, you know, I don't think that would be fair to either player. It's two different situations, I think, Brian, and it's, you know, obviously, you know, allegations are severe. We take it seriously. We look at them individually, and we do as much homework as we can. And, you know, specifically to Mike, in Mike's case, I feel like we did a good job talking to as many people as possible. Randy Brown, our kicking coach, has been out canvassing the country, looking at kickers and evaluating guys. And he came back and he said, really, hey, Eric, there's one guy that I really covet, and it's Loop. You know, I think for us, we've kind of felt like we had to draft him.
We kept him in the loop.
Yes, he did.
If you will. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Pad, here on this Monday. Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Of course, we'll be hearing from him throughout the course of the next 4 hours. But that was Eric DaCosta talking about the Ravens drafting Tyler Loop, Arizona, sixth round. And you heard him say Randy Brown's been out there canvassing and looking for kickers. And that followed a comment about the Mike Green selection, second round Friday night, out of Marshall, who we broke down on Friday and we'll do again. Character concerns.
Yep.
Going back to Virginia, allegations of sexual assault. Two, Ravens did their due diligence. As you heard Eric say, compared it to a slow 40 time. Or looking bad on film or whatever it was. But also with Justin Tucker already going through a league process where he's been accused of multiple, let's just say, inappropriate behaviors at massage therapies. So the Ravens, are they taking a big PR hit? Nationally, it doesn't seem as though they're getting kind of grilled here. I know Mike Preston wrote about it today in the Baltimore Sun, but you look at the mandate from the owner, Steve Bisciotti, where we're not tolerating this sort of thing. And now, and I don't know Mike Green. Quite frankly, I wouldn't know him if he walked in wearing a uniform.
Nope.
At this point in time. We all know Justin Tucker and his brilliance, the most accurate kicker in the history of the NFL. But dealing with some serious off-the-field accusations here, which we've all agreed, me, you, and Nolan, and a lot of our listeners, are going to lead, by at the very least, to NFL punishments,
yep,
suspensions, multiple game, and such. So Loop comes in. But as we watch the draft unfold over the weekend, on top of everything else going on in your sports world, like the Orioles getting worked in Detroit, the Green pick on a surprise level, and again, we talked about it Friday, you wouldn't think he'd be on their board. And I think we were all like, yeah, probably right.
Yep.
But there he was, and now here he is.
Yeah. I mean, football-wise, Bob, he's awesome. I mean, he had 17 sacks this year, 22 and a half tackles for loss. So, no, he's a hell of a football player. You know, and you got to do, and the thing that you got to do, and they have their own investigators, you know, that work for them and everything. And then when the scouts are in the schools, Marshall and Virginia, you got to go, you know, find out what, why, and how, you know, and get all the information that you can. And then all you can do is present it to, you know, all the information you got. Present it to Eric, present it to Harbs, present it to Steve Bisciotti, and then you got to make your decision. And what it was, one was in high school and one was, you know, his first
at Virginia.
Yeah, first year at Virginia. So what was that, 3 years ago? And, you know, you just, what has he done over the last few years? You know, is he rehabbing himself? Has he, you know, changed as a person? And they say he has, is, you know, they say he has. And that's all you can do. And then bottom line is it Steve Bisciotti's call at the end of the day that yes or no, you know, I mean, here's the facts. Bisciotti's good at that kind of stuff. I mean, here's all the facts, and here's what happened, and here's what he's been doing now. And he was at the Senior Bowl, all those kind of things. And then they went with it. So, I mean, you know, they feel like he is on the right path. So if that's the case, you know, move on to football.
But he's going to have to deal with these questions when he does,
in first fact, time
meet with the media.
Sunday.
Because you can only answer them so many times.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And he'll be prepped and, well, he had to do it 30-some times at the combine and right, everything else. So, yeah, he's used to it. And he'll have no problem with that. And I can't wait to be out there on Sunday for a rookie minicamp. I mean, I'm looking forward to watching him play.
And we'll do his profile later in the show. But as a player, I mean, if you look at it from a pure football standpoint, a lot of people are saying the Ravens had two top 15, two top 20 talents with their first two picks in Malachi Starks and Mike Green. Winning the draft. Now, what they did later in the process, we'll get into that as well. They did use 11 picks. Made a little trade there, right?
Yeah, they moved up to get Emory Jones, I think it was.
So we'll get into all of these selections throughout the course of the week, going into this weekend when rookie camp starts. But Mark Andrews, still a Raven.
And Eric sounded fairly definitive on that one.
Yeah, but we getting back to Tucker, Tyler Loop. Highly regarded, obviously, used a draft pick on him. They picked Stout punter a couple years ago out of Penn State, who has now become an asset for him after some shaky moments from time to time for them, rather. But Tyler Loop now comes in, you know, big shoe, big kicking toe.
Oh, boy.
To fill. I mean, Tucker holds the record for the longest field goal in NFL history. He's the most accurate kicker in NFL history after being bad by his standards, first half of the season, post-bye, didn't miss a kick, field goal, or extra point. But, you know, he was kind of getting up there. Age-wise, he's been in the league. He was on the Super Bowl team. He was a rookie in that game. He actually kicked the field goal that won the Mile High Miracle game. But now Loop comes in, and he's going to have to replace him in some capacity. And as we've discussed before, hey, Tucker, the ongoing investigation still happening as OTAs start.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're in mandatory minicamp and all of this. Is he going to be around for that?
I don't know how you can be, Bob. I mean, that's the thing. I think they bring in a veteran kicker, too, because they're going to have competition for Loop. And he did make one game-winning kick in 23 against Colorado. It was a 24-yarder. That's his only game-winning kick. He was 6-9 this year, 50-plus. Had a 62 yarder, got a big leg. I mean, like his kickoffs are, kicks him out of the end zone all the time, pretty much 90% of the time. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It did say in one of the reports I read, Bob, was like, if he missed a kick, he had no problem kind of getting on his holder.
Oh, a bus throwing? A bus throwing? Is that what we're going with here?
Yeah, he had no problem doing that. So it'll be interesting to see it. I'm anxious to I talked to Randy on Sunday, too, Randy Brown, see what he saw in the guy. But I still do think that they bring in a veteran guy. And bottom line, Bob, is and we've talked about this a bunch of times, whether Tucker's here, Tucker's not here, he's going to get suspended. Unless all of a sudden they come out and they say, well, there was nothing. We didn't find anything, you know?
Nolan McGraw, what do you think about the weekend festivities for the Ravens in regards to the draft there?
Well, I was stunned when the Mike Green pick went through just because everything we talked about last week, oh, there's no way they'll take him. You know, it's just
off the board.
Right. The off-the-field issues, there's too much of a hurdle for them to get over at this point. Very eager to hear their comments over the weekend about what led to this pick, why they were comfortable with it. And they said they did their due diligence. Now, I can trust them enough with that. The reports they said they got from Marshall and Harbaugh even said the reports they got from Virginia were good that led them to want to take him. But, I mean, I think that this is a big deal, and it's fair to question because of the precedent that they set. I mean, Steve Bisciotti was the one who said zero tolerance. That wasn't a fan or a media creation. Those were his words. So I think it's fair to question if he should talk about this. Bisciotti should be... have to speak about this. That's my opinion. And I mean, to tie it into the Tucker stuff, all right, you were comfortable investigating the Green stuff on your own. You were comfortable doing your own investigation. But when it comes to Justin Tucker, oh, we defer to the NFL on that. That's the league's investigation. So it's very inconsistent to me. At the end of the day, if Mike Green's a hell of a player and nothing else comes up, it'll all go away and nobody's going to care. But for now, it is a big deal.
How about if they'd have taken him in the first round?
Well, I think be even more stunned. And the questions and the chatter would be even louder.
I was, you know, like when they took him in the second round, was I was like, damn, they got to have, my first thought was, they got a top 15 pick in the second round, mm-hmm. you know. But almost every team passed on him almost twice.
Right, and to compare it to, say, like David Ajabo, remember a couple years ago, oh, the Ravens got great value. They got a first-round talent, maybe even top 15 pass rush talent in the second round, but that was different. You rolled the dice with the injury.
Right.
So far, it's come up snake eyes. This one, no injury, still some risk. My whole thing is it's unresolved. There was no solution to these accusations. So to me, that says that they could re-pop up at any time. And now that he's in the NFL...
Now he's got some dough.
Again, now there's a little more, the headlines are on him.
Yeah, again, and you text me, Vinny, Friday night when I was at a place that rhymes with Ike's, England Bernie, with the Caps NBA playoffs, because the Orioles got rained out. We'll get to them when we come back from the next break. And I was like, so much for character. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, but he could play. And as Mike wrote today, Mike Preston, Baltimore son, hey, he's a good football player. And at the end of the day, I guess that's all that matters. The Shedeur Sanders news became kind of the draft story.
Oh, on every
and
station.
Mel Kiper Jr., our boy, he's become part of the story. You know what's been forgotten in the whole thing? Cam Ward was the first pick in the draft. Remember Cam Ward, Incarnate Ward, made his way up there. Left was the all-time leading dude in a lot of statistical categories. He was the number one pick in the draft, and... you would have thought that wasn't even a thing. Shedeur Sanders. Now, why he fell, who knows? I wasn't part of any draft room, but you always said, and we're going to hit a break. We'll get your phone calls when we come back. 410-583-1057 is how you join us. It's how you get in the Plaza Sports text line. If the headache's bigger than the production.
Get rid of the headache.
If he's John Elway, he's not dropping to the fifth round, even if he's wearing headphones and dismissing coaches and just blowing off meetings altogether. All of these allegations that are... And by the way, the two jerk-offs that did the fake phone call, the coach for the Falcons' son...
Yeah, Ehrlich.
Yeah, a-holes. A-holes.
What was the dad involved? Or was
he
just...
got his number from his iPad or something.
Yeah.
And then tried to be a phony phone call.
Because like...
douchebags.
And Becky says, what
titled
was...
jerks.
Becky goes to me, like, we were watching it, and she goes, what was the kid, like, 8 years old or something? Then she looks it up. He's 21.
21.
Yeah.
Then came out with some BS apology.
Somebody, she goes, my wife said, he didn't write that. That's a PR person writing that.
Right. What do you think, Nolan?
Oh, it's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get caught, too.
And they filmed themselves
right,
doing
that,
it.
That was the dumbest part. But... you've seen a couple other stories here, like players have been getting interviewed after they've been drafted, and I think Tyler Warren said, I got a phony phone call. Some other players said that their phones were kind of blowing up with some misinformation, so it sounds like this stuff happens a little more often than we think.
Well, you know, it's full on phony. They go, Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Baba Booey. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 the Fan. And no, oh, by the way, the Orioles got swept in Detroit. Yankees scored more runs third inning yesterday in game one against the Blue Jays. The Orioles scored the entire series at Comerica.
Hi, I'm Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. And this is our biggest sale ever. Buy a new air conditioner or furnace and get 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Plus, Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000, guaranteed. Call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Tyler Lue, one of the 11 Ravens draft picks, 2025, sixth rounder out of the University of Arizona, now tasked with being the place kicker for a Ravens team that's expected to challenge for the Super Bowl, as Justin Tucker is either going to get suspended or, if not, just released by Baltimore. Vinny, you think they're going to bring in another kicker as well, a veteran type, to bring some level of competition. But what do we know about Tyler Lue? We'll be doing profiles throughout the course of the week of the 11 draftees, and it looks like 40 undrafted free agents that they've signed. But what do we know about Lue on this Monday morning here?
Well, the thing with Lue is, like, he kicked in 2020 at Arizona, and he was the punter during the COVID thing. He averaged 43 yards punting, 8 punts inside the 20. 21, played in 8 games, 12 for 12 PATs, 12 for 12 field goals. Longest, 42. 22, honorable mention, all Pac-12, 38 of 38 PATs, 18 of 21 field goals, long of 48. 45 touchbacks on 70 kickoffs. 2023, second team, all Pac-12. 53 of 53 on PATs, 19 of 24 on field goals, 2 of 4, 50-plus, long of 52, had 2 blocked. 73 touchbacks on 84 kickoffs and had the game winner versus Colorado, 24-yarder. And then this past year, he was honorable mention all Big 12. 12 games, 23 of 25 on PATs, 18 of 23 on field goals, 78.3%. 6 of 9 plus 50, long of 62, and then 53 touchbacks on 56 kickoffs. And from what everybody says at the combine, was dominant at the combine, you know, with his leg strength and stuff.
So he's coming in, and we'll wish him the best. Tyler Lue, ladies and gentlemen, get to know him, because based on draft status and Tucker's uncertain situation, unless he loses to a unknown veteran at training camp, then we're like, what the hell did you draft a kicker for if you're losing out to Mason Crosby or just, you know, somebody like that?
Well, a lot of times,
if they signed Greg Zuerlein, I'm going to be mad just because.
Bob, a lot of times kickers, man, I mean, when you get drafted, then it's like the next team you go to is when you start to, I mean, you look at like the Maryland kid at New England.
Ryland, or Dylan Carlson with, not Dylan Carlson, Daniel Carlson with Minnesota. Got the heave-ho there. Went to the Raiders. He's now one of the best kickers in the league.
And then New England drafted the kicker this year in the fifth round. So, yeah, and there's a lot of kickers, a lot of stories. Like, so I think there'll be, I don't think you can just hand a rookie, you know, sixth-round pick the job. But I think, I would think, they would bring in a veteran kicker to compete with them.
7 Terps, I believe, were picked over the weekend. Ty Felton went in the third round of Minnesota, where he'll join Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and J.J. McCarthy, I guess.
Yeah, well, the thing that'll help, you know, because of his size and stuff and his speed.
And he ran faster than.
He ran real fast. So I was happy for him because he had a hell of a year for the Terps.
Yeah, kind of busted out of nowhere, too. Yep. Always been lost in that that shuffle of wideouts down at College Park. Orioles get swept Saturday, doubleheader against Detroit. In the process, Adley took a foul ball. He got hurt. Westy tweaked his hammy. Cedric Mullins dealing with an illness. Tyler O'Neill won on the IL. And if I read this correctly, Nolan, help me out if I'm wrong. 15th time in his career.
Oh.
He's been on the IL, and that kind of his MO. Ticeps. So the Orioles go out there. I mean, they still had, you know, and Gunner and Mountie and others to contribute to the cause. And Tarek Skubal, who's really good, by the way, he silenced them. The Orioles in the series against the Tigers. They're 6-for-66, I think, in their last.
Crisp.
They were 2-for-23 against Detroit. And I said it a week ago today when they got pummeled 24-2. The offense stinks. Yeah. I mean, we know the pitching suspect. Morton scuffled again. Well, he gave up a 3-run homer. It kind of doomed him. Kramer bulldogged until blue pits and walks. Kind of did him in. And then Brandon Young was walking dudes all over the place on Saturday. I mean, the rotation is what it is. But the offense is bad. They're 27th in Major League Baseball today with runners in scoring position. Run production, they're middle of the pack. They're still like top 12 in homers. But, you know, when's the last time they've gone on a homer barrage? A week ago Saturday against the Reds when Laureano hit 2 of the 5. So the Yankees come to town. They just swept a doubleheader from Toronto. Tampa just swept the Padres. We'll get into the AL East later in the show. But right now, the Orioles are on the struggle bus, as they say. And it's another losing month for them. And if we want to talk about, well, it's a new season. It's a long season. And I hear all the cliches, and I've been watching baseball as long as I've been walking the face of this planet. These are like warning signs going back to the All-Star break of last year. This isn't small sample sizes. This is offensively. This is kind of a real thing. And they have new hitting coaches, maybe new approaches, but not a lot of production. And at the end of the game, you have to score more runs than the other team. And the Orioles are having a hard time scoring runs, period. All right, let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. It's Ray in Baltimore. Ray, what's up?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Happy Monday.
Yeah, right.
The theme of today's call will be front offices. And, you know, the theme of today's call, like we in church, will be front offices. As far as the front office for the Orioles, they failed Brandon Hyde. And y'all know for the last 3 years, you know, I'm not a fan of his lineup, so not a fan of his situational management. But to be fair to Brandon Hyde, you're dealing with a GM now, which is widely known. He wants to be the opposite of the Dodgers, Yankees, and Red Sox. He does. And I truly believe, and Vinny, you can answer this after the call, that his ego may cause the Orioles that window. Because if you go out and get Tyler O'Neill, not to say that Tony Tatis is lighting up with the Blue Jays, but he was known, he was ours, he was reliable. And you're dealing in a situation that I can't fault Brandon Hyde for so much for what's going on. So that's my take when it comes to that. And the final take before I hang up the phone, with Shador, you're dealing with an unprecedented star coming into the league. Okay, no Heisman Trophy, none of that. But, you know, he's a star of primetime. He's the son of primetime. You know, last night, for example, I seen a commercial with him on Delta Airlines. You're dealing with an unprecedented superstar. Yeah. You know, his drop was somewhat controversial, but, you know, he was already a multi-billionaire. This is where NIL helps. So, Vinny, as I hang up the phone, do you think, not to say there's going to be a star Shador's status coming into the league is going to be something that's going to often happen, but with NIL, do you believe that kids are not going to be as you know, hungry coming into the league as they was? Because he's, you know, we think about Juju Lewis driving around with Lamborghinis in Colorado when he's 17 years old. Where do you see this going in the next few years when it comes to, you know, the NIL and things of that nature, and the star power of Shador Sanders? I'll talk to you on the other side.
Shedeur Sanders, and I told Noel and I told Bob prior, when we were off air, I think Shedeur Sanders, when he comes into Cleveland this week, no jewelry, nothing. You're a fifth round draft pick, and your career's just starting. And you know what? If you deserve everything that you thought you were going to get prior to the draft, before the draft started, you're going to win this quarterback job. Dylan Gabriel, they took in the end of the third round. They got Joe Flacco and they got Pickett. Go win the job. If you think you're the third pick of the, you should have went to Cleveland with the second pick, be the starter. That's what I can say. He's got to be humble when he goes in because everybody is going to be staring at you. You're not Myles Garrett walking in the door. You're a fifth round draft pick trying to make this team.
And it's a winnable job.
Very easy.
Based on that quarterback room, you would think. Because Flacco's beyond his prime. Pickett's on his third team since he was drafted in the first round. Gabriel bounced around, college. He's had big years at the collegiate level. And, it's a winnable job if Shedeur Sanders is that guy. Question is he that guy?
Right. They could have taken him in the third when they took Gabriel, and they took him in the fifth because he was still sitting there. So, yeah, Shedeur just got to eat humble pie going in there. That's what he's got to do.
It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. If you're on the phones, we'll get you when we come back. We got draft profile number one coming up at 10:45. Brian Wacker from the Baltimore Sun talking about the Ravens draft. Whip around 11:15. We're talking Pete Caldera from the Bergen Record talking about the Yankees coming into town. Three-game series starts tonight, 6:35, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Orioles suck. Yankees in first place. Yankees have had pitching problems. They've had guys that have struggled offensively. They have had their share of injuries. For instance, Giancarlo Stanton hasn't played. And yet they keep on keeping on. Where the Orioles, they keep on dropping down the standings. We'll talk about that later in the show with Peter Schmuck. Doubleheader on Saturday. And they go quietly into the day. 7-0, Scooble and the rest. Shutting down those Oriole bats. So the Orioles limp home, taking on the Yankees. Start of 3-game series. Me, Jim Hunter, Joe LaCroix. We'll be at Pickles Pub tonight for Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Jerry Sumher, Home Service. It's going to be beautiful all week. Sad part is, Vinny and Nolan and listeners, I'm expecting a little more Yankee fans than Oriole fans on this Monday night. It's still schooly. Yeah. Something tells me people that have Oriole jerseys are going to be wearing their Yankee jerseys because you know how front runners roll. What do you think?
Well, I'm not going to make any accusations of people flip-flopping. Right. But just from a ticket price standpoint, hop on the train down from New York, they'll be all over the place.
Right, and I ask every year, as I always mention, I say, Mickey Mantle never had his name on the back of his jersey, right?
Yeah.
I know, but it was cheap and all that. I said, why are you coming down here anyway? He said, it's cheaper than going to Yankee Stadium. Those seats behind the home plate, $5 bazillion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, Bob, it's the same reason I go to go watch the Caps. I go to Philly to watch the Caps. Number one, it's easier. And number two, it's cheaper. Because going to the Caps, pain in the ass to get there.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more expensive.
Times are tough. Don't forget, Yankee fans, if you're listening, tip appropriately. Because last time I saw a Yankee hat at Camden Yards, it was opening day, Pickles, and a Yankee fan. It was Baltimore-Boston. So this dude comes in wearing a Yankee jersey. I'm like, let's see. You're now agitating two fan bases that hate the Yankees. And what happened to him? He got beat up. And they held his hat up like they had just chopped his head off.
Was
like
it Dustin?
Gladiator style. I don't think it was Dustin. I'm just glad they're going to be gone by the weekend and Kansas City comes in. Maybe a little revenge for the playoffs. All right, get out to the phones. Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, thanks for holding. What's up?
Well, good morning, fellas. Thought y'all was going to give me the whole Shedeur Sanders treatment, man. Keep me waiting.
Drive me down to the fifth call in line?
Yeah, man. Y'all treat Ray like Cam Ward, man.
He was first. Rashawn, let me remind people of my number one pet peeve, and I've been doing this 26 years. Don't complain about how long you've been on hold. Get to the point.
I know. I was just
you're wasting your Shedeur, time. Yes.
It's all good, man. But first of all, to the Olds, man, tough loss in Detroit, man, getting swept like that. I can't remember the last time they got swept. I remember at one point in time,
30 really, straight know. Series or something crazy like that that they've been
swimming. Yeah, yeah, you know, but that that school guy, man, he's the real deal, man. You know, I was at the game yesterday, man, watching him. And I was thinking, man, we should have gave up whatever they was asking for last year, man. You know, Holiday, Mayo. I guess they was all
that. Nah, I don't think they were trading him because they were kind of moving. They were blowing things up because they got rid of Flaherty. But yeah. Scooble was kind of trending towards which eventually became a Cy Young season. I don't think he was really on the table. Crochet, however, that might have been a more realistic get because we saw what happened in the offseason. He got traded.
Yeah.
To Boston.
Yeah, he did, man. Yep. But anyway, you know, hopefully get it together, man. You know, get some of these people back off injury. But going to the Ravens, right, in this draft, like, I agree, man. It's kind of contradictory with the Ravens, you know, drafting that guy with all the issues, man, you know, with the domestic violence issues, right, Mike Green?
Yep.
You know, like, I mean, like, come on, if that's the case, you got to keep Tucker around, man. Tucker.
Well, the NFL's going to make that decision.
Okay, NFL's going to make it, but I still think the Ravens, you should, you know, don't cut him or nothing like that. I know he had the down season, you know, and everything, man. Like, Tucker might have whipped it out, but he never whipped nobody. Like, this guy that they draft, you know, you know what I'm saying? You know, he never put his hands on nobody. I just like Tucker. And other than that, something about to say, too, about the – oh, what do you think about the that last pick of the draft? The lineman, I think it was a tackle from LSU, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a good pickup because we got him and the other guy from LSU, Emory. Emory something. Emory Jones, right?
Dellinger's the guard they got. Dellinger is – not a real athletic guy. Let me just say this. He's smart, tough, started 3 years in the SEC. He'll have a chance to compete. Will he ever be a starter? I don't know.
I mean, there's comp there at the O-line, too. You know what I mean? Yeah. Some of these holdovers. It's Vinny at 81057. The Pan will come back. Draft profile number one. We'll talk about the number one pick by the Baltimore Ravens here in 2025. More of your phone calls. Talk more draft with Brian Wacker from the Baltimore Sun. Ravens also signed a bunch of undrafted free agents, so which one of those could be this year's Keaton Mitchell, if you know what I mean. Whip around, live 15 touch going on in the NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs. You don't want to miss that. That will preview the Yankees and Orioles from a Yankees perspective. Pete Caldera, Bergen Record. You don't hear the Yankees whining about injuries, do you?
Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles. News, notes, and analysis on the 2025 NFL Draft Class. Vinny and Haney. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
I just think it was remarkable, you know, the way that he could discuss football, his awareness, his ability to call out the plays from their defense before we even showed the plays, just based on formation, his ability to dissect and talk about what happened in any given play and to know what his teammates were doing in any given play. I mean, it was like he was a coach.
That's Eric DaCosta, Ravens general manager, talking about their first-round pick, number 27 overall, out of Georgia, safety, Malachi Starks.
Yep, Malachi, 6'1", 197, ran 4.50. He's a junior, jersey number 24, 33-inch vertical, 7.263 cone, 4.45 short shuttle, 31 5/8-inch arms, five-star recruit, state champion long jumper, 24'9", 10-5, 500 meters. He started 40 of 41 games at the University of Georgia. Freshman, he had 68 tackles, 2 interceptions, 7 pass defense. Sophomore year, 52 tackles, 3 interceptions, 7 pass defense. 2024, 77 tackles, 1 interception, 3 pass defense. Strengths, size, speed, athletic ability, he'll hit and wrap. Positional flexibility, he's a good blitzer. He'll go up and get the ball, has body flexibility, shows explosion, tackling, takes good angles, has a burst to close. He can cover in the slot, good fundamental tackler, good job getting off of blocks, fluid hips, good change of direction, good leaping ability. He shows good instincts and range. Quick read and react in the run game. He's strong, uses hands well in the run game. Very good change of direction, good job with eyes. Has natural instincts, feeling routes. Shows good speed, deep and short. Makes the calls, good communicator. I think those are two huge things. And then high football IQ. He can also track the ball. I think those are probably the most important things there, the last couple. Weaknesses, took bad angle on cover two versus Texas. He took a, you know, and those both those guys run 4.3s, and he took a terrible angle, and it went for a big one. Will get over-aggressive. He'll need work in press versus quick receivers in the slot. I don't know if he'll be doing that. I think that'll probably be more Kyle Hamilton. Will react too much in zone to quarterback leading him with his eyes, and he's just going to have to learn. That's what practice will get for him. In summary, I like this kid's size, toughness, and athletic ability. Shows range and ability to play the ball in the air. Has good versatility to play all over the field. He'd help the Ravens big time in a run game. Also, complete safety. May struggle early in man-to-man coverage in the slot. And I don't know that he'll get that much. But he's going to be a hell of a center fielder back there. He'll be what they... I'm guessing that he'll be what they hope Marcus Williams would be when they paid him.
And this allows this selection, Kyle Hamilton, to
go do his thing. You know, be up closer to the line of scrimmage blitz. I'm expecting Kyle minimum 4 sacks. Because I think he's a really good blitzer. He has a great feel. And he uses his hands extremely well, rushing the passer. So I think it's going to unleash Kyle Hamilton into showcasing his abilities. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to cost the Ravens more money.
5-8-8-8-1-0-5-7, the pen, your commentary on the Ravens draft. Let's get out to the phones at 410-583-1057. Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun, top of the hour. Orioles get swept in Detroit. Orioles have lost 6 of their last 7 games. They are in last place, everybody, in the American League East. 7 games under 500 for the first time in 3 years. Trey in Joppa. Trey, what's up?
What's happening, fellas?
Hey, Trey.
Happy about the draft. My favorite pick, obviously, was Mike Green. I wanted him on Thursday. And, man, I'm just excited about him. I'm just excited about the way he plays. I mean, if you turn the volume off, you look at his tape, you can feel the desperation. I mean, yeah, he's a strainer. I mean, he's got moves, power, finesse.
Yep.
I think he's going to add some charisma to the defense, something we kind of ain't had since Suggs. A little bit of a party starter. Roquan's a serious guy. But I think he's going to add some flair and some personality to the defense, which is always a good thing. I love the Starks pick. Starks is a leader, man. I mean, I think Kirby Smart, it's not easy to get Kirby Smart's, you know, stamp of approval. And Kirby went out of his way to really applaud that young man. So, you know, I think we hit a lot of home runs. My sleeper out of all the picks would be the LSU offensive lineman. Rarely committed any penalties. And I give you this too, Vinny. You probably know this already. Brian Kelly, offensive lineman. No coach has more offensive linemen in the NFL than Brian Kelly over probably the last close to a decade, if you look at it. A lot of them boys came from Notre Dame, but he had 3 draft picks in this year's draft, maybe even 4, I think.
Well, the Ravens got 2 of them.
Appreciate the call, but I'm excited about Mike Green.
All right, Trey.
Yeah, I'm excited about Mike Green, too. I think coming in, he's got more juice coming in than Owe, than anybody on that roster right now. So expectations are high for him.
Yeah, but the red flags he has are unlike the lack of production red flags that Owe had.
Correct.
And the injury flag that Pajabo had.
Correct. You know, and Mike Green, and we'll talk about him in a little bit. But, he's got off-the-field flags that, you know, I mean, they're not going away. And he's going to have to answer to him on Sunday. And then that'll probably be the last time. And like what Norm said, maybe things will pop up now because he's going to make some money, you know, and you never know. So we'll see if that comes back to light. But, you know, he was also asking about Emory Jones Jr., the tackle from LSU. He's a really good athlete, and he could play right. He played right tackle a lot for them, and he can play some guard too. So I think that was good. He's going to need development. He needs a lot of coaching, too. You know, I mean, is he a finished product ready to come in? No. He needs a lot of work in his pass pro.
Nolan, we have time for another call. He says yes, and Robin Belair, you're the beneficiary. What's happening, buddy?
Oh, that's great. Thank you. It's funny. They always give, like, these draft grades, and they gave the Ravens a B. Again, how do we know? I mean, it's still a great grade, but how do we know what these guys are going to be? Now, Vinny, I know you're going to go over them in a little bit, either today or tomorrow. But I have a friend of mine who's a Cal fan, and he thinks the Teddy Buchanan pick was a great pick because the guy can play special teams, and he can kind of replace Chris Board or Malik Harrison. So he thinks that's a good pick. He thinks this guy has a high motor. So we'll see. Maybe he'll. I mean, Robinson turned him into a not a pass rusher, but a better guy against the run. So maybe this guy will be competing with Trenton Simpson when it comes to training camp. So that might be a good one. I've been saying a long time the Ravens need a pass rusher who can bend the corner, and with Chuck Smith, with him being there too, I mean that's a great asset right there. I mean, he might turn this guy into a who knows if he can stay healthy. And as far as the kicker goes, you know, like you said, Vinny, they're going to bring in a veteran. But when you do your draft report, I want to know what you think of this Buchanan guy. Thanks, guys.
All right, Robin Belair.
We'll do Buchanan probably tomorrow. I got to watch him on film later today.
Yeah, we got a lot of weeks to break down these draft guys. If you dig where we're coming from here. It's Vinny at 81.057 The Pad. Speaking of the draft, Brian Wacker, Baltimore's son, get his assessment of the green pick. What's the NFL's ultimate decision going to be on Justin Tucker and everything else relating to it? Whip around 11:15, Stanley Cup, NBA playoffs, hot and heavy controversy in both sports, Caps in a position of strength, big time. And then we're going to talk Pete Caldera, 11:30, Yankees, Orioles. Hey, the Yankees are in first place. The Orioles are bad right now, but the Yankees do have closer problems. So what's up with that?